are listening to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies. This week, Rabbi Meir Schweiga discusses Parshat Tetzaveh. For more original Torah learning, visit www.elmad.pardes.org.
This week's Parsha is Parshat Tetzaveh. In previous podcasts, I have looked and examined two sections of the Parsha, chapter 28, which speaks about the priestly garments, chapter 30, which speaks about the incense altar. Today I would like to examine chapter 29. Chapter 29 can be titled The 7 Days of Installation, the 7 Days of Preparation for Entering the Role of the Priesthood. In our other podcasts, I have spoken about how this parsha, Parshat Tetzaveh, essentially is speaking about the role of the priest. And a major theme which we have examined is how the priest is to embody the dialectic of majesty and humility. On the one hand, the priest is seen as being in a position which brings him close to God. One might even say which gives him the most access to God. And in that sense, he has majesty. But on the other hand, the role of the priest from beginning to end is a role of service. And that is where the humility comes in. Today, what I would like to do is to see how this theme plays out in chapter 29. In this preparatory period, before the priests actually begin functioning in the tabernacle. So let us begin. Chapter 29, verse 1. God is speaking to Moses, and he says, "And this is what you need to do in order to sanctify them, in order for them to serve me." And then he mentions a number of animals that need to be taken, other ingredients, all of which will be used in a sacrificial service. But let us begin with the idea of to sanctify them to serve me. The expression lekadesh otam lechahen li, to sanctify, as we've noted on other occasions, means to separate, but not only to separate. To separate for the purpose of transcendence. That expresses the idea of majesty. Lechahen expresses the idea of service. So already in this section, we are told how what is happening here has this dual purpose. Now let us look at what actually is done. The first thing which we have, verse 4. Aaron and his sons are to be brought forth, and Moses is told to bathe them, v'rachatzta otam, b'mayim, bathe them in water. Throughout the Chumash, throughout the Bible, bathing is a code word for ritual immersion. So that the very first thing that needs to be done is ritual immersion. Then afterwards, in the following verses, Moshe is told to take the clothing and to clothe Aaron. And subsequently, he's told to clothe his sons. And in verse 7, Moshe is told to take the anointing oil, to pour it on his head. Ritual immersion, putting on the clothing, the anointing oil. Those three elements are critical for the purpose of sanctifying. Sanctifying Aaron and his sons for their lofty role as priests. In fact, at the end of verse 9, Moshe is told, "You shall fill Aaron's hand, you shall fill the hand of his sons." And that is the term that's actually used in rabbinic literature to describe this period, Shivat Yemei HaMiluim, the 7 days of filling them. Today, I think we could properly use the term empowering them. Doing these actions empower them. It fills them within a sense of importance. But then we're told of another aspect of this period, which involves sacrifices. Essentially, we have three sacrifices. In verse 10, Aaron is told to bring a bull. Place his hands on the bull. We have a whole description of a sacrificial service that needs to be done. I would just like to jump at the end of verse 14, where this bull is referred to chatatu. It is a sin offering. Then in verse 15, Aaron is to take a ram. He and his sons place their hands, what's called smicha, on the ram. And once again, we have a description of the sacrificial service. And at the end of, in verse 18, we're told this ram is an olah, is a burnt offering. And then immediately afterwards, in verse 19, Aaron is to take a second ram. And he and his sons once again do smicha. Once again, we have a description of the sacrificial service. It is worth noting that with the second ram, after it is slaughtered, blood from the ram is then taken and sprinkled on his earlobe, on his toe, on his thumb. And the blood is then sprinkled, well, on the altar. And then blood from the altar combined with the anointing oil is sprinkled on Aaron, on his clothing. And the term that's used is, in verse 21, he and his clothing will thereby be sanctified. And then we go into the details of the sacrificial service. This ram is called the ram of the miluim, of the empowerment. And then there is a meal offering which is brought, which is waved. And we're told how part of this meal offering has to be burnt on the altar where the burnt offering was done. And if we jump ahead to verse 28, Aaron is given a portion from this meal offering, which is described in that verse. as being a korban shlamim, a peace offering. What is the significance of all these sacrifices which Aaron is bringing? So first of all, I would like to note that it's very interesting how we spoke about Aaron bathing, Aaron putting on the garments, having the anointing oil be put on his head as expressions of empowerment. Later on, when the sacrifices are brought, in the third sacrifice, there is blood which is put on his earlobe, on his thumbs, blood which is sprinkled on him, blood mixed together with the anointing oil, all of which is done, once again, to sanctify him, which I am connecting with to empower him, to ennoble him. But there's another side, and that is reflected in the three sacrifices which he needs to bring, which are actually connected with humility, the complement to the majesty. The first sacrifice that is brought is a bull, a sin offering, which is a message to Aaron and his sons that before they approach God, they need to atone for their sins. They need to acknowledge their imperfections, their need to somehow bring an offering which can allow them to come before God. The next thing which Aaron and his sons bring is a ram, which is an olah, a korban olah, a burnt offering, is an expression of one's total devotion to God. We see this very clearly in the story of Akedat Yitzchak, which is meant to show Abraham's total commitment to God. So that when Aaron now comes before God, he needs the mindset of one who's totally surrendering, who is prepared to do everything in service of God. And then we have the last offering, which is a peace offering. A peace offering, you'll excuse the kitschy description I'm about to give, it's called a peace offering because everyone gets a piece. There's a portion which is given to God, a portion which is given to the priests, and in general, when someone brings a peace offering to the community at large, the peace offerings are brought in order to create that unity between the individual, the community, and God. And in our situation, the purpose of the peace offering, where the blood of the peace offering is sprinkled on Aaron, sanctifying Aaron, is a way of showing his empowerment comes not only from God, but comes from the people. But at the same time, his empowerment is in service of the people. So that if we take all of the sacrifices together, Aaron and his sons need to have the consciousness that before they approach God, they have to clear their slate, clear out their baggage. They have to be prepared to totally dedicate themselves to God. And they have to see that everything which they're doing is as representatives of the community, in order to be able to bring the community into a relationship with God, to create a harmony between the community and God. This service was done day in, day out for 7 days. We know that 7 days is a certain period of time of completion, of wholeness. By the way, it's interesting. We know of, for example, 7 days of rejoicing in the aftermath of a wedding, 7 days of mourning in the aftermath of death. In both situations, the 7 day period is meant to be perhaps a transition from one reality to the next. How do I take the joy of the wedding and then translate that into my day-to-day life? How do I keep that joy alive? How am I able to acknowledge the pain and the loss of death as I move forward in my day-to-day life? To not deny that pain, but to not allow it to incapacitate me, but to perhaps even use it as a catalyst for further growth. When Aaron and his sons are separated during this 7 day period, they are now entering a new reality, where on the one hand, they are being given a tremendous role, tremendous responsibility, where they are being given the opportunity to have that close contact with God. But they have to get themselves ready for that. They have to prepare their mindset for that. I would like to conclude by saying that we no longer have a temple. And this is something which was done over 3,300 years ago. But what does that say to our reality? I would like to interject that it may say something very important for those people who are our religious / spiritual leaders. This perhaps could be referring to rabbis. This could be referring to cantors. This could be referring to Jews, regular Jews, who lead services, who read Torah. The moment anyone takes a leadership position regarding spiritual matters, how much do they really prepare themselves for that job? We don't have a mechanism, as described in our parsha, for that preparation. But I would say that perhaps we need to create our own mechanisms. How do we fill our hands? How do we somehow impress upon ourselves the magnitude of what is happening? And how do we do that in humility? This issue is something which is very, very dear to my heart, because I think that sometimes we do not take these questions seriously enough. As someone who is a rabbi, as someone who is a teacher, as someone who leads services, who reads Torah, I always ask myself the question, how much am I prepared for what I'm about to do? How much am I ready to do the best job that I can? and realize that that's what needs to be done. Because coming close to God demands the best. Because taking a leadership role in the community demands the best. And having said that, if I make every effort that I can to do the best job that I can, how much am I always aware that it's not about me? It's about serving. Serving God, serving the community. This is something which I encourage each of us to think about. In whatever capacity we are in, to always remember how if we play a leadership role in the realm of spirituality, which may even mean just being called up to the Torah, reading a section of the Torah, how we have to prepare ourselves and do this with majesty and humility. Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you for listening to Pardes from Jerusalem, the weekly Parsha podcast from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies. For more original Torah content, visit www.almad.pardes.org.